Reading to you from Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the 16th verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, Energenoma converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then, 1 year later, God called me to preach. Oh, dear friends, I tell you, I was down at the post office the other day, and all these people had boxes of stuff they were shipping out. And they had all long faces, and it was cold, and I thought, my start. I said, I'm happy. Well, because I'm happy because I have Jesus. Oh, friends, He's the greatest of all. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a hot cup of coffee, maybe a hot chocolate. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, I've titled this message, The Joy of Giving and Receiving. And I would like to read to you from the sixth chapter of Luke and with the 38th verse. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now here's a dialogue between a stingy church member and his pastor. Here's what old Stingy said. All I hear around here is give, give, give. Pastor, thanks for the best description of the Christian life I've ever heard. Dear precious friends, let me tell you what. The Christian life is about giving. Christ gave his life on the cross to provide salvation for you and me. I read in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, I want you to know, you look that over and you'll find that that's been Jesus' main thrust in life is to give. That's what God said, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his Son for you and for me. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we call that the faith chapter, heroes of the faith gave their lives as martyrs. Friend, I've told you last week about the shootings of these people in the two churches, or two groups of people. This young boy said, I want to kill, excuse me, I'm going to kill as many Christians as I can. Well, he killed four. You see, early church members gave to enable others to survive. And I read in Acts 4:32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he passed was his own, possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Dear friends, do you realize what happened there after the Holy Spirit came in the world? I want you to know these Jewish people were getting saved right and left. Peter preached one place, 3,000 were saved. Preached another place, 5,000 were saved. These, they absolutely put their people out. If they give their hearts to Christ, they were out. And you know what these dear brothers and sisters did? They sold their property, many of them, and shared with these people. I think that's so wonderful. God loves cheerful givers. Believe me, if you're a tight-fisted Christian, please read this. 2 Corinthians 9:17. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good works. It just pleases God to pieces when he sees Christians that give. And I learned that from my dear dad and my dear mother. I truly did. I remember one time when we lived in Odell, Oregon. There was a family, they're a pretty good-sized family over in, was it D? No, it wasn't D. Anyway, just out of Odell. Their house burnt down. And my dad and other men in that community went to the lumber companies. They got lumber donated. And they went there and they built those people the best house, because they were poor, that they'd ever seen. And my mother and other women in that community can-cans, made quilts, did everything. See, that's what they did back in the old days. That's what I like about the Amish people. Boy, they're not, I don't always agree with their theology, but they do give. They help one another, I'll guarantee you. See, the Lord commands us to give. The Lord's command is clear. Give. Giving is not an option to accept or refuse. When we give, we obey the Lord. When we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord. Listener says in Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Friends, listen to me. I want you to know that for years and years and years on my radio broadcast here in KPOF, that my listeners and I gave thousands of pounds of turkey, and when we put a Christmas basket out, we gave them 2 weeks of groceries. We put everything in there. And all my grandchildren were just little fellas then, and we took them with us when they went out there. And about 2 years ago, because of my health, I had to give it up. And my grandkids to this day still says, Grandpa, you know what? It isn't like Christmas. When we used to go in these poor homes and give them food and see the smiles on those little children's faces. Well, when we give, friends, we follow the example of Jesus. The Bible said, he who was rich became poor. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. I want to tell you a little story. I've told this before, but it's such a beautiful story. Years ago, there was a family. Well, Tom Baird and I went and visited his home and invited him to our revival where Tom was preaching. But this lady told us she was a Roman Catholic and she did not want to go to our church. Well, we left, and about 2 weeks later, I received a phone call from her neighbor, which was a member of our church. And she said, Cecil, did you know that family next door? They're hungry. They have no food. The daddy's an alcoholic and he's in a bar somewhere. And she's been trying to get a hold of a priest so they might get him some groceries. I said, don't tell her your phone's busy. And so my wife and I, we went down, we bought a box of groceries, and we were poor ourselves, believe me. We bought them groceries, and we even bought candy for the little children. And I went and knocked on the door with this groceries, and she opened the door and said, "I told you I was not interested in going to your church. I'm a Catholic." "Oh," I says, "ma'am, this hasn't got a thing to do with my church. This is from my wife and I. We have 4 or 5 children, and we know how tough it is. We just want to give it from our house to your house." Why, she just let us come in, and we visited with her. 2 weeks later, she called me back, took their neighbor and said she wanted to talk to me and my wife. So we went over there, and we visited, and she said to me, "You know, Mr. Moe, I wish I had the faith that you and your wife have. Thank you so much for helping us. We were in a jam." I said, "Ma'am," I said, "that's what Christianity is all about. We're supposed to share with people." And then I said to her, I said, "You know, the only faith we have is in Christ Jesus. But I said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. We're going to leave here now. I want you to go to your bedroom. I want you to kneel down on your knees and ask the Lord if you're going to spend eternity in heaven. And if you're not, invite him into your heart." She did exactly that, and she said, told us the next day, that Christ came into her heart. Now she don't want to be a Catholic. She wants to live for the Lord. And I told her, I said, "I don't tell people to leave their church once they accept Christ. I just want you to follow the leadership of the Lord." Well, a few weeks later, we moved out to Ontario. And one day I got the urge I had to go back and see the Smith family. So my wife and I went back there, and there was her husband, the alcoholic. He was sitting there drinking beer. And I sat down beside him, and I told him about Jesus and told him how I, too, was been an alcoholic. And one day I invited Christ into my heart. Right there on that spot, that man knelt with me, and he invited Christ into his heart. Do you know why? Because we were kind to them. We gave to them. The Lord was pleased with that, very pleased. And you know what he said? Proverbs 19:17, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay again." Our salvation should remind us to give. Gifts to missions multiply givers and keep on giving. A giving church becomes a growing church. Listen to me. The Lord makes a promise to givers. We read it in verse 38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured." Well, you know what? Solomon observed in Ecclesiastic 11:1, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou wilt find it in many days." After many days. Did you know, dear friends, I want you to know, I remember my dad quoting that many, many times. "Cast your bread upon the waters." Well, you do it and it shall return. Giving is an investment in the future. Without sowing, there is no reaping. Giving is like sowing a seed. The law of the harvest applies. Galatians 6:7-9. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Well, blessings flow to churches that give the gospel to the world. And I'll tell you one thing, dear friends, you may have a hard time believing this. The Lord guarantees rewards. Giving results in ultimately receiving. These rewards are in good measure. They are pressed down and shaken together. They are not only returned, but running over. You know, John Bunyan described this giving and receiving. A man there was, though some did count him mad, the more he gave away, the more he had. Stingy gets as stingy gives. You know, the proverb speaks of givers and receivers. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. And friends, listen to me. Jesus guarantees this proverb to be true in Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you. Let me ask you this. Do we give tithes of our income to buy favor with God? Absolutely not. You cannot buy favor with God by giving and tithing. He does that. I read the scriptures to you. I read you all the scriptures. I know these people on television that tell you to send $1,000 and God will heal your children. And he'll do this and he'll do that. Now they've got holy water you can get free to get all the miracles you want in your life. Just get this holy water or send for a hanky and it'll be prayed over by them. Listen, friends, they don't have no more power with God than you and I. Did you know that? They don't have any more power with God than that. I'll tell you another story of giving that I learned. A few years ago, when I was in Riverside, I was asked to be a chaplain for the AA group. Now, there is no chaplains in the Alcoholics Anonymous, but I was. Sure was. So I was called and said, there's a man tried to kill his wife with a garden hoe. He was an alcoholic. He was in prison. He wanted to go see him. I went to see him, and they weren't going to let me in because I didn't represent any particular church. I said, I represent Jesus Christ. He got real nasty with me, the sheriff. He said, I can't let you in until you tell me who's with you. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I want your badge number because I'm going down the street and I'm going to call the governor of the state of California and I will guarantee your job is on the line. You cannot keep me from seeing that young man in the spiritual council. Well, he let me in. And this young man, he was in terrible shape. Yes, he said, I got drunk and I thought my wife was being unfaithful. So I took a garden hoe to her, 50 stitches in her back. I said, do you still love your wife? He said, yes, but I don't think she'll ever love me. I said, well, God can make miracles, I guess. I know he does for me. So we went and found his wife. And I went to the district attorney, my wife and I, and we got him released in our behalf. And they had no place to go because their house, they'd been repossessed and they had no place to go. So I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll find something for you. So my wife and I called the church and asked my pastor if he could help me with some grocery money. And he said, we don't do things like that. I said, what? We don't do things like that. So my wife and I, we took our $35 and we rented him an apartment, furnished apartment for a week. We bought him a box of groceries. He said, oh, Cecil, I want to repay you for this as soon as I get back to work. He was a roofer, incidentally. And I said, well, you can pay me tomorrow. Well, he said, I don't have any money. I said, I'm not wanting money. If you go to church with me, you and your wife go to church, me and my wife and kids, the debt's paid. He said, is that all I have to do? I said, that's exactly all you have to do. Well, so, sure enough, they were ready. I had to give him a shirt, my wife gave her a dress, and we went to church. And the pastor preached a wonderful message. During the invitation, I turned to Bill, and I said, Bill, this is what you need to do. While I was leading Bill to Christ, my wife was leading Jean to Christ. They went down and made their profession of faith, and that afternoon the pastor called and said, "See," he said, "you don't ever get a chance to preach. Would you like to preach tonight?" "Oh," I said, "yes." And the scriptures I use, "He that closes his ear to the cry of the poor shall pray, and their prayers will not be heard." And I told them, people, I didn't tell them the pastor wouldn't give me any money, but I told them that these two had been saved. And you know what they did? People come forward with their billfolds, and they gave, I don't know how much money, and groceries and everything to help this family. That church decided they would take 12% of all their income to give to the poor people, and that's still in effect today. Oh, friends, it does pay to give. I don't know what you're going to do this Christmas. I know that there'll be tons of presents under the trees. What have you done for the poor, the needy, the men and women that don't have anything? Oh, listen, I go down, I speak in Skid Row in the rescue mission there. I see these homeless men and women, yes, children. It breaks my heart. And how can you shut your eyes to people like that? You don't have to give a ton of money. You don't have to give a ton of groceries. Just give them something in the name of Jesus and assure them it's because of Jesus. Well, friends, you say, "Well, Cecil, wait a minute now. Are you saying that if I don't give, or if I don't give toward the Lord's work, or I don't help people, I'm not a very good Christian?" That's right. I'm telling you the facts. The Bible says it. I didn't say it. I just forwarded on to what I heard. Oh, listen, why don't you have a good Christmas this year? Why don't you help some needy family? Oh, think about it. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to guide you, to open your billfold. You say, "Well, Cecil, I'm a senior citizen." I am too. And I live on Social Security. But we have time to give. We sure do. And we have time to go out and lead people to Christ, and God's blessed my ministry, not because I'm a great preacher, oh no, not because I'm a great Christian, but because the love that He put in my heart the morning He saved me, changed me and made of me a new creature. I want you to know, Lord, if the Lord is tugging at your heart tonight, and maybe let's talk to the stingy Christian. Do you feel tonight that you really haven't been sharing with people? Well, let me tell you what, let's have a prayer. Father in heaven, I pray for that stingy Christian that you'll open their heart and their pocketbook this Christmas season to the poor and the needy, and I'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. If you have a tug in your heart and you don't know Christ, this is the season. This is the time that you need to come to Christ and repent of your sins, and I'll lead you in a sinner's prayer, but don't you dare pray it unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. And Father, I'm opening my heart right now and receiving you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you call me 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't want your money. I want your prayers. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. My phone number is 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll accept the call. Okay? 303-471-8534.
And when I look
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Mullen. I want to thank you for listening. Oh, please pray for my wife and I and my quartet as we go to prison and rescue missions. As I said before, I don't want your money. I want your prayers. Giving is one of the things that God taught me as a baby Christian. I've been tithing for 51 and a half years. I think it's the greatest thing that God ever taught me besides going out and telling others about Jesus. Until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.